Welcome to the ThinkComputer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 188. I am one of your hosts, Derek, and as always, this episode is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and make some purchases there in our name. Kicks a little bit back to us so we can put the podcast on. Just helps us out a little bit, and we appreciate it if you do. With me today, as always, is ThinkComputer Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? It's a Wednesday. We're doing this Wednesday, not a Tuesday. So
yeah, you're a little busy this week.
Yeah, we'll talk about it at the end of the podcast. But I'll be going away next week, so just kicking it back a little, you know, one day, so you don't have to wait, I guess, even longer for the next episode. Right. But there's a lot of going on this week, and it's good that we pushed it back a day because there were some pretty probably the most talked about story was yesterday, and we'll get into that. But let's just jump into our reviews here, and we'll start it off with the Ryzen 5 3600X. This is the $249 6-core 12-thread processor from AMD. Obviously, it's an upgrade from their previous 2600X, and it completely outperforms that processor, as it should, but it's not just like a slight upgrade that we've seen from maybe Intel, you know. It is a very big upgrade, and the biggest thing that I would say AMD has done with the 3000 series is there's such a big increase not only in multi-core but in single core performance as well. You know, you're going to get better single core performance when you boost up the clock speed, but it's even more improved. It's not just like, okay, they added 100 megahertz, you're going to get a little bit better speed. They've actually really done things to make the performance better. They've done their game cache, which is basically tripling their L3 cache. That helps out in gaming as well. And I think for $249, this is a processor that I would pretty much recommend to anybody. You know, we've seen the 3900X and even the 3700X, but those are pretty expensive. I mean, the 3900X, it is a beast and is pretty much beating anything out right now, but it's $500. And as we talked about last week, you really can't even get it for $500. It's, you know, going for $600-$700. You know, so I think for, you know, only $250, I think it's actually $230 on Amazon right now, this is a great processor to build a brand new system with. It just is. 6-core, 12 threads. You could do quite a lot with that. You could not only game with that, but you can do, you know, video editing, photo editing. There's a lot you can really do with that. And it does come with a cooler, which, you know, the other side does not. You know, Intel processors don't. And for the mid-range, I mean, it's pretty much the king. I mean, I don't see another processor out there that would really beat it in the mid-range from Intel. It's just that good, and the price is right. It's just a good processor. That's all, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's never intended to be the top dog, obviously, but price to performance for the mid to upper tier is really, really good.
Yeah, it is. And the only thing that I would say is there is the 3600, which is $199, right. And you can technically overclock that and get around the same performance. That's something you might want to think about.
By technically overclocking, what do you mean? Because the X's are supposed to be the overclockable chips.
Yes, but you can overclock the 3600. It's completely unlocked as well.
Oh, did not realize that happened.
Yeah,
is that true of all of the parts this year or this series?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
I now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not specifically sure.
So what's it's just a performance difference, I guess, then, rather than the X just designates that it's a faster part and not necessarily an unlocked part?
Yeah, it's a faster part.
Okay, that's confusing. If I were AMD, I don't think I would have gone that route in the naming scheme, but they don't seem to care about confusing the consumers.
So. I don't think any company does now. No. And we'll talk about that. Like, all of these different names for all of these different things is just, it just gets confusing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's almost like it's on purpose and they're just trying to like keep you like so confused you just buy whatever, maybe. I don't know.
I think at least I don't know. I guess we're informed consumers. Like, if we want to buy something, we research that. And not even when it comes to computers, like everything. Like, you know, just like we talk about cameras a lot on this. Like, I'm not going to buy an A7R II. I'd buy the A7R IV, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would research which one I'm buying. I wouldn't just buy the one that says A7 or even like the 8. Isn't there just an A7, like a normal A7?
Maybe original.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, those are still being sold, and like a 2600 still being sold, and a 2600X is still being sold. You know what I mean? So I think I would hope that a lot of our listeners, and I think consumers, are informed where they actually know that, you know.
Yeah, I think it's just those minor changes that, like, you've as a company, you've gotten people used to seeing that designation, and like myself assuming that was true, and it's not this time around. So that's just
But like I said, I think that at the end of the day, I think if you're anybody, like even if you're upgrading from like an Intel, you know, like one of their old flagship parts, a 7700K, 6700K, this even traded blows with the 8700K in some multi-core benchmarks. I mean, this is a good chip. Like, it is. And for anybody who doesn't want to, because X570 motherboards are more expensive, if you're going to go the high-end route, you're going to pay around $700 to $750 just for your processor and your board if you're going to go with the 3900X. So for those who would rather get a 2080 Ti or a 2080 Super and then have, like, you know, not the top dog processor, that's kind of this is kind of the way to go, I would say.
Yeah, and I think that person is probably more likely going to be a gamer, and that better GPU is going to benefit them far more than having the faster processor.
Yeah, for sure. So check out that review. Like I said, I think when it comes down to price, and again, not everybody's spending $2,000 on a PC. They're just not. You know, so what? I think when it when it comes down to it, like, this is the processor that I would recommend for probably 85% to 90% of people if they're building a new PC this year. That just, you know, like I said, you can't complain about the price, the performance you're going to get. And again, there are certain circumstances where you need the 12 cores of the 3900X, but I mean, do you really need 12 cores for most things? I don't think so.
unless it's paying for itself, you don't.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So definitely check out their review. We'll move on to not a review, but Fractal Design did release a new line of power supplies, and they sent us one over. We had told them that we don't do power supply reviews because we don't have a load tester, and it's kind of pointless, but they wanted to send one over anyways. So we don't have performance on this, and that's something that's really hard to do unless you have a specific load tester. There's only a handful of sites that actually do like actual reviews, so we told them that we would just do a little preview. So it's their Ion Plus series, and these are available in 560 watts all the way up to 860 watts. These are platinum rated. Nice. So 80 plus platinum efficiency rating, and they come with a 10-year warranty, so this is a part that you could probably use through multiple builds if you wanted to. 100% modular, which is really nice as well, and they use their new cabling, which bends a lot easier. Sometimes it's just a pain in the ass to have cabling that just, it's hard to work with. So they put all that into this, plus their new fan, which is extremely quiet, a very, very quiet fan. And you can turn on 0 dB fan mode, which means the fan will actually turn off when, you know, you're not putting load on the system or it's not needed per se. So I think they have a really good series here. I like that it's available, again, from the lower end, from 560 all the way up to 860. And 860 should cover pretty much everything. Unless you're doing like multiple GPU setup, which most people aren't these days anyways, especially if you're building a new PC. So like I said, I really like it. I love the 10-year warranty. That just gives you peace of mind when you're buying something like this. You know what I mean?
So
like I said, check out our little article on it if you want to learn more. And I'm sure there's other reviews out there if you want to, you know, see like the performance, but it is really good. The only thing that I thought was weird is there's a switch to turn on the 0 RPM mode of the fan, and that switch is on the inside, so you technically would have to open it up to do that.
What?
And they could have put, yeah, it's weird.
The inside of the power supply.
Not the inside of the power supply. Like it's inside, on the end of the power supply, which sits inside your case where you connect your modular cables. So you would actually have to open your case up and flip the switch when they could have, I would have think they could have put it on the back that, you know, that's outside your case.
Right.
That's the only weird thing I found, you know, thought about this, but especially everything else is
when you look at the back and you see there is room for it.
Yeah. That's what I was like. This is just a little weird, that it's not there. So I'm not sure what that's about, but it's a good looking power supply. Fractal Design has done a good job on power supply. So I think this would perform really well.
If I was to say anything though, negative, it's that I hate when cables aren't sleeved on power supplies now. Like they just should come that way. These are ribbon style, which, you know, they improved them, but I still sleeve it. Like
they're the flat cable design, which has become extremely popular. I think pretty much almost every power supply you buy now comes with this flat cable design, which technically it is easier to maneuver. But yeah, I do like the sleeved look a lot better.
Yeah, because so many are coming sleeved, especially right in that price range. Like it's not exceptionally cheap or anything. For that 860 watt unit. And yeah, so I don't know. I would just prefer to see it sleeved. And then the other question, what kind of the rail setup is on this?
I do not.
Single or multiple rail. So
I believe it's single. Okay. But I'm not sure.
Most are these days.
Cool. I mean, check it out. The 860 watt unit is $129.99. And again, like I said, the biggest thing is 10-year warranty. Like most power supplies have 5 or 7, but 10 is, you know, usually only like super high end units come with 10. So
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So definitely check that article out. And I took a look at a keyboard and a keycap set. So HyperX this week announced their white double shot PBT keycaps. And they sent us over their Alloy FPS RGB gaming keyboard to try them out on. So basically, I got to review the keyboard and then switch the keycaps out and tell you about the keycaps. So real quickly, I'll go over the keyboard. It's a full-size keyboard with full number pad and everything like that. And the one thing that I love about it is that it has a metal top plate, which it's kind of like, for all the keyboards that I've reviewed, like it's just every keyboard has to have one. We talked about the Razer keyboard a few weeks ago that was made of, had plastic and it just looked cheap. This looks great. There, it's a frameless design, which I absolutely love. I hate keyboards that just have extra like plastic or extra. It's just, I hate that look. And this uses the Kale Silver switch, which is a speed switch. It's the same type of switch as the Cherry MX Silver. Works really well. We've talked about it a million times. We're not going to go into it in full detail, but Cherry switches always feel better, at least to us, at least to me and you. They do. But the speed switch is nice. It allows you to actuate the key faster. So this is really a gaming switch for, you know, fast-paced gamers, people who are really, you know, getting their APM up. And it's full RGB backlit, everything like that. The USB cable is detachable, which I'm a fan of, especially on a full-size keyboard. You don't see that all that often. So I like that as well. And I think it's $119 just for the keyboard, which isn't bad for
mechanical. It's about standard, though.
Yeah, it's around standard right now.
For Kale switches, it's a little expensive.
Oh, no, it's $109.
Okay, so, that's right. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, for a Kale switch, that's right where it should be.
And this does come with software. Software is easy to use. Not the best software I've seen, but it's not horrible either. It kind of sits right in the middle, like a lot of them. But then they sent over their new keycaps, and these keycaps are $24.99, and they're the pudding style. If you're not familiar with that, basically the bottom half of the key is opaque where the top is solid. These are white, which I thought would look kind of weird on this keyboard, but it kind of worked because the keyboard itself, the top plate is black, and now I put white keys on top. These are made of PBT, and if you're not familiar with that, it's just a higher end type of plastic that I don't know if you have a keyboard in front of you that you've used for a long time. Aren't the keys kind of shiny and a little bit worn?
A little shiny.
Yeah. So PBT, the way it's made, you can look it up. You don't get
We've
that
talked about
shine.
It before, I believe.
Yeah, you don't get that shine. And at least in my opinion, they feel better.
Yeah.
It's just a better feeling key, in my opinion.
It's got a better tactile feel to it. Like, it just, it's grippier almost too.
Yeah, it's grippier. It just feels stronger because normal keycaps are just plastic and they're single shot, which means that they're put in a mold and like the mold's injected once, whereas double shot, it's injected twice. Right. That's why they call it double shot.
Weird.
Yeah, weird, right? So this keycap set is awesome. Not only does it feel better, like we talked about, it, like, again, your keys won't get shiny, they won't wear off. And because of the pudding design, it adds so much more to this. So the RGB lighting really shines through that opaque part of the key. It looks awesome. Like, every time I look down at my keyboard now, I'm just like, that looks pretty cool right there.
If one photo you got, it looks great.
Yeah, it really does look good, and I don't even think the photos do it justice. And the thing is, these keycaps are affordable. If you look at custom keycap sets, double shot, PBT, pudding style, they're like $50 to $100, and you could get even way, way more than that. So HyperX has made them more affordable, I think. And I think, too, while HyperX says these are made for their keyboards, they will fit any standard stem.
I was going to say, they look like they'll fit on just about anything.
Yeah, so they'll fit on any standard keyboard layout that has a standard stem. So, like, Cherry MX, Kale, Gateron switches, probably almost all of them have a standard stem, so you can use them. They come with a keycap puller, which makes it easy to pull your old keycaps off. Takes about 20 minutes to kind of do it, you know. That's a fun little process, and like I said, it just adds so much more. Not only it feels better, which I think is a big plus if you're using your keyboard a lot, whether you're a gamer or you're typing a lot, it just, the better feel just makes things so much better, and then it just looks better. They look awesome. If you're not into the white, they had already released a black version, and it was on sale for $20 for the keycap set. Same design, just they're black, not white. So yeah, so like I said, really, really cool. And I actually really like the keyboard itself too. It feels heavy. It feels like if you wanted to smack somebody in the face with this, like, it would really hurt.
That is exactly how your keyboard should feel. It should feel like a weapon.
Yeah, it kind of feels like, you know, like, say, like Jack's old keyboard, like an old keyboard that's really heavy. That's what this keyboard feels like, and I like that. There's no flex in it or anything like that, so it's really, really awesome. Nice. So yeah, so check that out. And then, I just got signed out of our notes for some reason.
That's weird.
I don't know. Yeah, that's weird. So, okay, so I'm opening back up the notes.
I can continue. The next up is the Silverstone LD03 case review.
Yes, and that was done by Ryan. This is a mini ITX case, and we'll have him tell you guys just a little bit about it.
Last week, I took a look at a new case from Silverstone. It's from their Lucid line, and it's the LD03. The LD03 is a mini ITX case, and it has some really unique features that we kind of want to cover here. Included with the case are three tempered glass side panels. That's pretty standard in a lot of cases. You know, it's pretty common to see at least one, maybe two tempered glass side panels, and a third panel isn't anything unheard of. So that was really kind of cool in a mini ITX build. It's really the kind of unique. The backside of the case doesn't have your typical IO cutouts and your motherboard cutout as well. The back of the case actually has just kind of a blank slate with a removable dust filter and some passive cooling. And that's because the motherboard layout in this case is rotated 90 degrees and is mounted on the backside of the inside of the case. So all of your ports, your USB, your network, your audio, your GPU, everything is actually on the top side of the case, and that's kind of hidden by a plastic shroud. And really, it's kind of hard to explain talking about it, so checking out the review and all the pictures there's a ton of pictures regarding the layout and everything, and that will do a lot better job kind of explaining the look and layout of this case. Like I said, it's a mini ITX case, so right from the start, it's, you know, going to be a little cramped in there. Cable management is definitely a challenge in this case. There's no dedicated cable management routing or anything like that. But the case supports SFX and SFXL sized power supplies. So that is something to keep in mind as well. And I definitely recommend utilizing a fully modular power supply when building in this case. There's just not enough room here to have a non-modular unit. It is probably doable, but the cable mess would be just out of control. And we really, I think, did a pretty good job in this build hiding the cables that we did need for the case. The front panel, I'll kind of go back out to the outside of the case. The front panel just pops off. It has some pretty strong pins that keep the front panel attached. And the front panel is comprised of plastic, metal, and tempered glass. And it kind of snaps into place there. And then the side panels that are tempered glass, they have no mounting mechanisms that are visible until you take the front panel off, which is really nice. It kind of has a nice clean look on both sides. But once you get the front panel off, there's some push pins that keep the side panels in place. And you can simply kind of pull those out, and the side panels then are easily removable. The top of the case is also removable. It's a plastic cap, I guess you could call it, that provides some passive ventilation for the system down below. It has your standard power button, your USB microphone, and headset jack as well. Like I said, on the back side of the case, it's pretty plain, other than a removable dust filter for an intake for the internal power supply. And then there's some passive cooling at the back of the case as well. But since everything's coming out the top of the case, it's really kind of a unique look there. Inside of the case, like I said, is pretty unique because you have the motherboard mounted at the back of the case as opposed to, you know, maybe the left or right side of the case. And it's also rotated 90 degrees, so everything is twisted a little bit and all your connections end up being at the top of the case. Silverstone includes two 120 millimeter fans. There's one at the bottom that acts as an intake and one at the top that acts as an exhaust. And they're essentially right on top of each other and lined up with each other. So you have some good airflow through the case there. The bottom fan is filtered. There's a large removable filter at the bottom of the case that keeps dust out. And there's room for... You can put a couple different sizes of drives in here. You can put either two and a half inch, you know, solid state drives or hard drives, or you can fit a single 3.5 inch and a single 2.5 inch drive there. So you do have some pretty good options for storage, especially if you're utilizing any like M.2 drives. You could actually fit quite a bit of storage in this case. There are some quirks to building inside of the LD03. One, you have to remove the power supply bracket, attach it to the power supply, and then reinstall that. Not a big deal, but just something that's a little unique to this case. As far as installing components, motherboard installation was fine. There's plenty of room for tall CPU heat sinks. It supports CPU coolers up to 190 millimeters in height and even supports like a 120 millimeter all-in-one cooler. So you could definitely fit one of those in there as well. We chose to utilize kind of a low profile Silverstone cooler in this case and didn't have any issues installing there. Like I said, we recommend utilizing a fully modular power supply that allowed us to only install the bare minimum cables that we needed, power to our motherboard, power to our storage devices, some peripheral devices, and then your video card power as well. But once everything was installed, it really actually turned out to be a pretty clean build. We were able to route some of the cabling on top of our power supply and behind a CPU cooler, and without any dedicated cable management troughs or covers or anything like that. I was actually pretty impressed. At first, I was pretty nervous during the building process that I was just going to have a spaghetti mess in there, but I was able to route things pretty nicely, and you can see that in the pictures that are included in this review. One thing I do wish, though, is that Silverstone would include maybe some integrated lighting or RGB fans, lighted fans, something of that nature, because the side panels that are included with this case are really heavily tinted, and when you have the system fully built and the side panels on, you can't even see really the components inside. So it's kind of defeats the purpose of having tempered glass side panels if you can't see what's inside. So luckily I was able to get a good deal on a lighting kit and installed that in there and put just two light strips within the case, and it really helped show off the build. I think it looks really great, and those pictures are in the review as well. So definitely check those out. Just some final thoughts here. I think the case looks really great. The three tempered side glass panels are a nice feature here, and the two included fans. There are only two 120 millimeter fan locations, and the fact that they're both populated is a nice feature there. Supports large and long graphics cards. There's actually a cutout at the bottom of the case that allows you to extend the graphics card past the outside of the case if you need to. So that was kind of cool. And then it just has that kind of unique internal layout. Things that I didn't like, again, the no integrated cable management. I think that there may have been some options that could have been included there, but you know, that's, I'm not a case designer. I just review them and build in them, so I can't speak to that too much, but I wish there was a little bit more there to hide some of the cabling. Right now, the case is priced at right around $160 at Amazon. I think that's probably a fair price. It may be a little more of a premium for some users expecting something a little cheaper. But when you start getting into the kind of unique and niche market of the mini ITX world, you do obviously end up with some price premiums, and this is one of them here. So definitely check out the review. We gave it a 9 out of 10, and it's, I think, definitely worth a look if you're interested in kind of a unique mini ITX build.
All right, Ryan, thank you for that. I actually like this case because he talked about it, but it's just different for an ITX case, I would say.
Very unique look.
Yeah, it's very unique look. It's more of like, it's not a cube because it's taller than a cube.
It's,
right?
It's kind of, it kind of very slightly, I'm reminded of the Fantex Shift X Tower cases, kind of, but also it's extremely its own thing.
Yeah,
it's so just cool. Kind of tall in that, in the way that those are. It's sort of, it's barely rectangular, right? Because it's a pretty squat case as well.
Yeah.
But it is a little bit rectangular, so it kind of has that look of the shorter Shift. Is it just the Shift or Shift? I think it's just the Shift, actually. Which is the smaller one, so it kind of has that rectangular look. But this is like more spacious in the, because it's more square.
Yeah. Yeah. So he did a cool little mini ITX build in that. And then talking about mini ITX stuff, our video this week was of the N1 A1 Plus, which I might say could be the sexiest mini ITX case out there. It is small, and I talk about it on the video, and we actually did the review, I think it was last week or the week before. It's a great case to display anywhere and things like that. Building in it is a little hard, and to get proper airflow, you probably need to buy more fans. But definitely check out the video. I think the video does much more justice than my written review because you can see the case in action and everything like that. So definitely check that video out. And then this week for Case Mod Friday, we have a system you can actually buy. It's from Xforma, and it's in their MK2 limited edition case, yeah, which the case itself is $1,200.
Dude, this case is so sexy.
Yeah, this, they're like, I guess, sort of, you would call them like a case labs where, you know, the entire case, one, it's like, it's $1,200.
Yeah, it's aircraft grade aluminum.
Aircraft grade aluminum, yeah. Like
everything you'd want.
There's upgrade they're
like
pieces.
They're more polished, I would say, than case labs, though. Case labs was like, here is a really, really nice thing that's really well engineered, but maybe not like finished out the most, like in the sexiest ways, you know? They were very utilitarian, whereas these are like fully, fully thought out. Like they're as sexy as any, they're like all of the little finishes and everything is just right there as any like major company that you see.
Yeah, I agree. And the build they did inside this, it looks like a Threadripper build. There's not a whole lot of information, but it looks like a Threadripper build to me with dual, I guess, in their 2080s. Yeah. And just this reminds you of like the big cases, like the ones we used to see a lot of that you don't anymore.
The good old days.
The cable routing on this might be one of the favorites I've seen. And it's not it's like you can see on the backside of the motherboard tray, it's like grouped together, but it's not like those straight paths that we've always seen, if that makes sense.
Like it walks a little bit.
Yeah, and it's not like...
Well, its cable comes in, it comes to the back, and it goes to single groups, so...
Yeah, I just, like, I like that. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just...
Well, and they do it in such a way that, like, it doesn't get messy, though.
Yeah,
it still, like, maintains the order, and it's... It, the reason we, it might... I'm guessing the reason it's this way is because, you know, this is a case you can buy, so, like, doing it one time is one thing, but having to reproduce that result... like identically or near identically is difficult. So kudos to them on the quality they can put into one of these.
Yeah. Just amazing. And just like the water cooling bill is great too. Yeah. You have hard tubing. It's a black and red themed case, which again reminds me of like a lot of these that we've seen.
With the red coolant and red, yes. Red dims, everything. Yeah.
Yeah, they have and it's non-RGB. I mean, oh. I guess there are elements that can be RGB.
Well, the mid plate in it is underlit, so, and it's white. So that's all the lighting that it requires, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean the memory is non-RGB. I guess the blocks probably have RGB lighting in them, but it probably doesn't mean turned off.
Yeah, they're not using it. Those are RTX 2080 Ti's, by the way. Can see it on the blocks, yeah. EK blocks, so
yeah.
What just, is the, you know, what's the price on this?
I have no clue. It's yeah. It's one of their custom builds. I mean, the case itself is $1,200. You okay. Have a Threadripper and a Threadripper board, so that's like another, you know, depending on which yeah. chip it is, and then you have two 2080 Ti's. All the water cooling, I mean, and then he has fully dimmed out the Threadripper board too. So I imagine that's 128 gigs of DDR4. You know, yeah. So it's an insane build. It's one that I would love to have, obviously. But it's so sleek. It's one of the sleekest builds I think we've seen all year. I don't know if you agree with me on that, but I think it is.
It's great.
Just,
yeah.
It's just that good.
Yeah.
So yeah, so definitely check this one out. I mean, it is. I just keep on looking at it. I'm like, yep, never could do something like this because I would just.
I mean, you could, but it would take you years to learn it.
Just the amount of time just in the cable routing and just making everything so clean, and it's just yeah.
Yeah, and you've not even touched on like the what is essentially custom millwork and stuff in it. So
yeah, yeah. So yeah, so definitely check this one out. One of the cleanest builds I think we've seen all year. And that brings us to news and mostly AMD news again. They're just crushing the news.
They're making a lot of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so they had their Q2 earnings call and they released their earnings. If you want to know more about that, we have an article on it. But the biggest thing that I think came out of their earnings call was when somebody asked if they were coming out or what's the deal with high-end Navi GPUs. Because, again, the RX 5700 and 5700 XT, they attack the mid-range for the most part. So, you know, what's up with the high-end? And AMD CEO Lisa Su said, "I would say they are coming. You should expect that our execution on those are on track, and we have a rich 7-nanometer profile beyond the products that we have already announced in the upcoming quarters." So are they, I mean, and we talked about it last week of a 5800 XT. Now there's rumors of a 5900 XT card. Right. I mean, do you think that they could possibly take on like a 2080?
I don't know. I mean, we spoke about it before that there was rumors of higher end cards, but not for a while, right? We were thinking next year sometime. So,
yeah. So, do you think like with 7-nan, like
I mean, they have to, right? Like,
do they? Do they want to?
I mean, they have to in the sense that like. Well, of course, eventually they're going to have a part that takes one on, right? But that doesn't mean that NVIDIA's top card will still be the 2080 Ti or whatever.
Well, that's whatever what I mean. I forget when the next NVIDIA, like the not a super refresh, but like, you know, the next
like the 21 series.
Yeah, like when that will be, but I think if AMD could release a 2080 performance level card before the end of the year, I think that would be good.
Yeah, before the end of the year would definitely, my guess based on, you know, timelines, would definitely put that card out before Nvidia could respond. Because I would guess Nvidia doesn't have too many snap responses left in them after they went and pushed the Super Series out like sooner than they were planning, it seems. So they're probably really just working towards their, like, what would have been an original timeline with their next release. So I would say if AMD can get a competitive high-end card out before the end of the year and come in at a lower price point, that would probably be the card to buy at the time. So long as they can get their drivers in line too, right? Because that's always the thing.
I think the biggest thing, and you just said it, is competitive. It doesn't have to beat it, but it can be very close. And if it's far less money, at least
$100 less.
Yeah, $100, like at least over 50, going towards 100, we would like. That's a big deal, and that takes some of, you know, Nvidia's, I wouldn't say thunder, but it takes some of their market share. You know what I mean?
Well, it's going to push, it'll put a card in a place where Nvidia has actually been struggling to sell a card.
Exactly.
Nvidia has not been getting the sales on those 2080 and up cards they would have liked to have seen simply because their pricing has been absurd. So, not only do I think we would see this being great for AMD, but it would probably affect the sale price of Nvidia products currently on the market. So
I would like that.
It would be nothing but good for the consumer. But
yes,
as we said pre Ryzen, we can only hope for our own sakes that this is true.
yeah, exactly. So one of the more interesting things that, you know, if you were looking to pick up a 5700 XT or 5700, the biggest thing is people are wondering, like, how much more are they going to cost because they're custom designed cars? Well, PowerColor put out on their social media that their 5700 XT, their custom one, we don't know which one, will be $399, which is the same price as the reference card, which is pretty awesome. I mean, I would not want the reference card, and with a custom one, you're getting at least at bare minimum, you're getting a better cooling solution. It's not going to be like, you're not going to get like an ROG Strix card for the $399. I couldn't imagine you would, but like we saw the ASRock Challenger series, which looks more of like a cost friendly series. It's still going to have better cooling and not sound like it's going to take off like the reference card does.
Yeah.
So the fact that maybe, you know, each company, Asus, MSI, Sapphire, they're all going to have like a card at $399 that's cut, you know, that has custom cooling at least. Like I like that. You know what I mean?
It kind of puts you where, so normally you'd probably, for like a base one, you spend like $30 more for custom cooling, right? Just custom cooling, no upgraded, power delivery or anything like that. It kind of puts it where like it should be, like when it what a card should be when it launches. So it kind of brings you right to base. So this makes sense to me that you'd price it like that, especially since the cards don't really perform that great. So asking for more money for a card that like somebody is probably barely wanting in the first place is pushing it, I would guess.
Yeah. So it's good that at least custom cards will start at the asking price of the reference card. I like that.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Yeah. So we've seen a bunch of leaks of 5700 XTs. We have XFX, Asus, their Strix card and their Tough card, and MSI's new Evoque, which out of all of them, I like the Evoque. We have links to all three. The XFX card does look good too.
There's something odd about it though. The back panel or the backplate looks great, but the angle on the ends of it is kind of
weird. This is their new it's a new dual fan design that they're going with. I don't it makes it look bigger than it should be.
Yeah, and the balance, it feels off balance for some reason. Even though it is mostly symmetric, it doesn't feel like it is, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's got a crease in the middle of it, so it also feels like it's folding in, looking at it straight on. But I don't know. Yeah, it looks good. It looks pretty good, but it just feels weird to look at.
Yeah, it feels weird to look at. I'd like to see this one, like, in person.
In person. That's a big deal, too, is seeing these cards in person.
Yeah. So Asus had their Strix, which looks like a Strix.
Yeah, the Tough looks good.
The Tough card does look good as well. And then we have the MSI card, which they sent out teaser photos to a bunch of websites of like one little piece of the card, and you put them all together. It has like this like champagne color, all metal shroud, which I like. Yeah. It looks like an AMD card, but like in a not horrible way.
The only question is if the notch is there, because we don't have a picture of it.
Oh, yeah.
That's We're weird. Missing the very middle.
But yeah, it looks good. It's a full metal shroud and full metal backplate, which is I like.
Yeah,
that's cool. I like the color. Some people might hate it. It's gonna look weird in a build, I feel, but I just like I like the color.
Yeah, there's. It's hard to think of maybe a black and white themed board would look good.
Yeah, it's. But I think too, like it's a lot of these companies try to go like overboard to sell the car. You know what I mean? In design, and this is like it seems like one of the more just kind of basic designs, but because the color is different, it is all metal. It's not plastic shroud.
You can see the heat pipes coming through. It has to be. No, it's probably the bottom, actually, isn't it? So, yes. Like, oh, yeah, it's the bottom. That's good. So, you know, it is quite upgraded cooling.
Yeah.
So, it's not. It's shaped like a reference card from what I would guess, right? It's a general rectangular shape of a reference card, but with upgraded cooling. So, I actually like that a lot.
Yeah, I do like it. So those were like all the cards, and Sapphire's just leaked today as well, and we'll definitely tell you about that one. Intel had a little bit of news this week about their GPUs, and I would say it's expected. Raja Kaduri, who's formerly at AMD, he's now Intel's chief architect and senior vice president of architecture, software, and graphics. That's a long title. He went on an interview on a Russian YouTube channel called Pro High Tech to talk about a bunch of stuff. And the one thing that came out of it was that, they plan to release their first discrete GPU at the $200 price point, and Raja said GPUs for everyone. Like, I can't think that they're gonna be like a mid-range solution at $200.
I don't know if this is a good strategy.
And when has Intel put out a affordable product for everyone? I mean, they haven't.
And I don't.
In a long time.
I don't think that's the place to start necessarily with your first GPU. That's like bringing out showing off your team and being like, yeah, but we're here for the compete in the pros, but we're just mediocre at best. So
and everything that we had heard, they hired all these people.
Yeah.
They want to reach out to gamers. They want to, the biggest thing is like, I would say, I mean, it's always been, like, the most popular cards have been 970, 1070, 2070, probably.
It's the nearly high-performance card.
It's, like, right now, it's, like, the $400 card, or maybe five, you know?
Well, that's just inflation.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's, like, $200 is not, I don't know.
But it's not enough. It's not enough of a card. That's what it is. And like, I don't know why, I know why, because he comes from AMD. But it feels very, it feels like an old school AMD decision to just shoot for nothing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe they're having more trouble with it than we imagined.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's kind of disappointing because I thought, and most people thought, like it would be a mid range card, like a 2070 or even 2060, like that type of performance for their first card, like that makes sense.
Yeah, not a 1080p 30 frames per second card.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe a little faster than 30, but 60.
Yeah, but still, I mean.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with this, but I mean, that's kind of, I don't know. I was kind of excited, but now I'm not, so I don't know.
It's a move that interests the back burner type of announcement or type of thing to come out. Like, oh, okay, I guess if something really big comes out, I'll pay attention, but no longer looking for news on that.
Yeah. But also talking about GPUs, the guys over at Tech Power Up kind of found out that, you know, they're the guys who I guess created and maintained the GPU Z software. Hmm. And going through the software and updating it, they realized that there's actually three SKUs for supercards, and two of the SKUs match old, like, you know, because a 2060 super is based off of a stock 2070, and a 2070 super is based off of a stock 2080. So basically,
but they're cut down, right?
Well, they have the same device ID, okay, which make people think that possibly you could flash the card. So you could flash a 2060 super and technically make it a 2070.
So then it wouldn't be cut down. It would have to be the full silicon. So, yeah, so I mean, possibly this is the world of the internet and things happening all at once. No one's done this yet?
No one's done it. They said there might be some type of like resistor on the card that blocks it. But nobody's tried
that
it.
Sounds
I don't
like
think.
A simple soldering task.
Yeah. But it'd be kind of interesting because again, a lot of people have noticed that, like, you know, they, I don't know if that image was fake of the EVGA 2060 super that, like, when you took off the sticker, it said 2070 on it.
Probably.
Yeah. So if it is just like a BIOS flash, I mean, that's pretty cool, right?
That used to be a thing. Like, that would, AMD especially.
Yeah, AMD but especially.
There were some NVIDIA cards you could step up to.
Yeah. So I think we'll hear more about this as time goes on and people try it. I haven't heard anything since we talked about it. But it's at least based on, you know, it's based off of that card, technically. I mean, the chip. So yeah. It could be possible. We don't know if it's possible. You know what I mean? But that'd be kind of cool if you were able to do that. Obviously, you'd void your warranty, I would think. But, hey, get a little bit more performance and, yeah.
I mean, in theory, you would void it if you did brick it. It's tough to say. I mean, it's just a firmware flash. There's not going to be anything to recover for on their side. So they're just going to warranty you still, probably.
Yeah, you make a good point. Yeah. So who knows? But we'll keep you updated on that
get
one.
Get to it, kids.
Yeah, tell us if it works or not.
Yeah.
So before the X570 chipset launch, we heard rumors of an X590 chipset. And they were denied, and when X570 launched, there was no X590. When I was with AMD, I specifically asked them about it, and they said there is not one. But according to Asus, there is. In their internal documents, they have a Prime X590 Pro and ROG Strix X590E. Now, there are two theories to this. One is that AMD was going to release two chipsets, X570, which featured PCI Express 3.0 to make it more affordable. Or they were going to have X590, which featured PCI Express 4.0, and they were more expensive. But I guess possibly the decision was made, we'll just keep X470 and those, and we'll continue to support that. You know what I mean? It makes more sense, I would think, to do
sure.
that too.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have double boards, you know, like an X, you know, just like you said, like an X590 Pro, X590 yeah. Pro and X570 Pro. Like instead of having 12 motherboards from Asus, you'd have 24.
That's creating more consumer confusion.
That's the possibility. Or, and I talked about this before, is that maybe X590 is for the 16-core processor that's coming out that has better VRM, that has just made specifically to support that chip, if that makes sense.
But why would they need an entire new chipset?
I don't know. Yeah, so, but at least according to Asus and their internal documents, this does exist. Like, these boards are called this. So, I don't know. I guess...
I would lean, and I could be wrong very shortly, too, but I would lean more towards this being something that existed at one time and they decided not to go that route. I think your original theory is probably more accurate.
Yeah, that one makes more sense to me, just because, like, yeah, like, they knew that they knew that putting PCI Express 4.0 was going to make things more expensive, and you kind of, as a business, you juggle with, okay, like, are people going to pay $250 to $350 for a mid-range board? I mean, you know? Yeah. And I think that it finally came down to the decision of, you know, and maybe companies like Asus and other, like, they were preparing two versions of the same board, one with PCI Express 3.0, one with 4.0. We don't know.
I mean, if it was ever even a discussion, they'd have to get on it right away, so...
Yeah, but also they did, it was released that Asus is working on their Zenith 2 Extreme, which is going to be for the next generation of Threadripper, and that board's sick. So that's something to look forward to if you're, you know, possibly getting the Threadripper 3000 series. That's something to look forward to as well. So,
or just Threadripper curious.
Yes. Yes. A new case was actually released yesterday, or it might have been today. And the reason I want to talk about it is because we've seen so many tempered glass cases that don't have proper air cooling. Mm-hmm. They just don't. They want that tempered glass front look, and they might have like an intake on the side or the top or the bottom, but having a proper front intake, like, that's what you need for proper airflow, especially if you're doing like multi-GPU stuff. You just do. So Fantex has come out with their Eclipse P400A. It is a, you know, it's a standard mid tower, but the front is mesh and it has fans behind it, which of course give you good airflow. And it's relatively inexpensive too. They have two different versions, a P400A that comes with two black fans, which is $70. And then they have one that comes with a digital RGB controller and three RGB fans for $90, which I think is a really good deal considering you're getting three RGB fans. Yeah.
Sign me up for that one.
Case. Yeah, it's just, yeah. I just think, like, why is there not a case like this? Like, we haven't seen one.
Yeah, I don't know.
With because three everybody RGB fans is, in the front.
Everybody is so stuck on tempered glass right now. It's just insane.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if I suppose we'll bounce back just because they'll be bored with things to design with, but it seems to just be here now.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, this case still gives you the ability to, you know, show off your whole system with the tempered glass and everything like that. And it's under $100. You're getting three RGB fans with it. I mean, that's a plus to me.
Yep. Vertical, you know, GPU mount too.
I think you'll have to buy that extra, but it is possible in this case as well. So, check that out. It comes out in mid-August, so it should be next couple of weeks. You should be able to pick it up on Newegg and Amazon. Definitely check that out. And the biggest story of the week, which we kind of teased earlier in the episode, big rumor put out by WCCF Tech. Sometimes they're hit and miss on their leaks and rumors and stuff, but
I would say they're more accurate than they're not, though.
Correct. They do sensationalize things a lot, though. I would say that. The rumor is that AMD CEO Lisa Su will be leaving AMD. And to put it out right out there, she actually replied to them on Twitter and said, "No, I'm not." But you have to think of one thing. Is she's the CEO of a company and she cares about the valuation of the company.
Oh, yeah.
And if word gets out that she's leaving and she doesn't deny it or anything, I mean, the stock price is going to go down. So as a CEO, you don't want that to happen anyways.
Right. And I almost even wonder if she's bound by her contract to continue because her entire job is to drive the stock price up. So
yeah,
like she's legally required to do that. So I wonder if that would, you know, she has to, you know, claim otherwise, because right up until the end, she's responsible for that. I would say that, like, yeah, this does sound sensational when you first hear it. Like, oh, of course not. It sounds like total rumor. But a lot of rumors coming from AMD have been pretty spot on. Like, yeah, almost everything has been accurate.
Yeah. And so the rumor is that she's eyeing the CEO and president of IBM.
Which is a huge role. Massive role. Not necessarily in our... Actually, not even really in our space at all, in the enthusiast, but IBM is, that's a big company.
Yeah, that's a very big company.
That dwarfs AMD.
And this, according to the rumor, it's something that she's wanted for a long time. And AMD is going to be, or they just did, announce their Epic Rome CPUs. And that, again, according to the rumors, she will leave the company when those launch in the fall. Hmm. And it's suggested that Rick Bergman, who was the CEO of Synaptics, who just returned to AMD a day before this rumor came out, he will replace her when she leaves. He came back to be the head of PC and semi-custom business. That kind of makes me think this has some validity to it, because he's the one who is rumored to take her place. He leaves his CEO position at Synaptics to take a lesser position at AMD.
Not right something now. That you normally see.
Yeah. He previously did work at AMD.
Right.
And then he left to join Synaptics, and now he's coming back. So maybe, again, they say, come back. You know, Lisa's transitioning out, you're going to transition in. It's all possible, right?
It's a much better system than just outing someone and replacing.
Yeah.
It's the role of CEO is that it's extensive, right?
Yeah.
But depending on the company, but generally it's extensive, and to not have any missteps in the meantime would take a lot of catching up right around the amount of time that we're talking about here. So
So I think this, I give this a 50-50. I think that it's entirely possible. I think that it's also, I mean, with the momentum that AMD has had, as CEO, I wouldn't want to leave.
But, I mean, if you think of it in another light, it is the momentum, she's at the top still. It's not, this is when you step off to get that better thing that you couldn't have gotten.
And like, maybe
even a couple years ago, probably.
And maybe, you know, she, like, that opening is coming up at IBM. And that's again, something that she's wanted for a very long time. And she had to make the tough decision, like, go for something that I've wanted, like, for a very long time, and leave something that I've been building for a while.
Yeah.
You know,
for probably just as long.
Yeah. So, like I said, I feel it's 50-50. Obviously. You know, fall's coming up, so we'll see as we get into, you know, October, November. See what happens.
Very interesting. We've seen a lot of top players at AMD leave, so
who
knows. I mean, and I think that's a lot of them using that success to springboard to positions that would not have been previously available to them. Yes, you stay with AMD because they're on a run and it could continue, but it could also, you know, they can also fall back. So, and maybe is it telling, even add another rumor to it, that they're not as excited for future product lines as we would think they would be?
Yeah, I mean, that could be it too. You know, because again, especially when it comes to CPUs, like, yes, you completely redid your processor, so you had that massive IPC lift, you know, but that, you know, in now, you know, second generation was good. Third generation was really good because you have PCI Express 4.0 and you did the game cache. But, like, as these generations of Ryzen go on, like, is it going to become the, here's 100 megahertz increase?
You know? It already kind of sort of did. It's not, I mean, it's not faster clock for clock still.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and they've taken that step into, like, the motherboards, for example, being so expensive. They've taken that step into that Intel direction. So, who knows? I could see I could see it going either way, but I see them moving more towards less value in the future. compared to where they are. And I don't blame them. I mean, they've done the right thing in undercutting pricing, but you know, at the cost of margins. So like, you want to grow the business, you're going to want to increase those margins, but obviously the trick is the curve that you take to do that. So maybe there's less in the pipeline than they'd like us to think. I don't know.
I guess, like I said, the thing is you just got to wait and find out. Yeah. And obviously if we hear any more rumors or anything solid comes out of this, I mean, we'll obviously let you guys know, but this is a pretty big deal. I mean, Lisa Su has been the face of AMD and pretty much all their massive launches. She does the keynotes. I mean, that's a big, that will definitely hurt their stock price.
Yep. More than this last quarter's results did.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, we'll keep you updated on that one. That's like huge news if it is true. But again, I give it 50-50 and we'll just kind of see where that goes.
I give it 65.
Oh, 65. All right. Yeah. Alrighty, well, that leaves us to what we have coming up next week, and I'm going to just say that next week is graphics card week. I'll be taking a look at a 2060 Super. We haven't taken a look at any, and I'm going to be taking a look at Gigabyte's RTX 2060 Super Gaming OC8G. This is factory overclocked. It comes with their 3-fan cooling solution, has RGB lighting. It should be not a bad card. Like I said, should get decent performance, you know, for what it is. And I'm excited to take a look at that. And we'll also be taking a look at some other graphics cards. That's all I can say about it. But if you have listened to this podcast up until this point, you can guess what those other cards might be. But I'm excited to take a look at those as well.
Pretty easily.
Should be, you know, should be able to figure it out. But yeah, I'll be taking a look at those. And like I said, next week we will not have a podcast because I'm going on vacation. I rarely take a vacation, but I pretty much for 5 days I will not be on my computer, barely checking email. I'm just going on a nice little vacation. So
it's good for you.
I feel I need it. I think that I've gotten incredibly, like, not burnout, but just like crazy overworked with the X570 stuff and all that, and then dealing with, I mean, we have a lot of review requests coming in, and like, just there's a lot of products here and just a lot going on. And then as we get into end of August, September, you get into holiday season, you're getting all new case launches, all that stuff, you know, up until we go to CES, it's just crazy. So I'm really happy that I'm just going to take a week and just relax.
Absolutely.
And all that. So yeah, if you're looking for the podcast next week, it will be the following week, likely that Tuesday or Wednesday. That's the end of the podcast where we talk about if we did anything cool or tech related or saw any cool movies or have any suggestions for anything. Did you do anything this past week?
I actually watched Shazam. Had no intentions of it, but I just wanted to watch a movie and I couldn't really find anything. So it's like, all right, I'll settle on this. And it was interesting. I knew nothing of it going in. I don't know. I'd give it like a 7 out of 10. It was good, but it felt like a kid's version of Deadpool almost. Interesting to watch, but like, not quite there for me.
Yeah. I started watching Pokemon and I just turned it off.
Really?
I don't know.
That bad?
I don't know. It just wasn't, it didn't keep my attention. So I turned it off. Yeah. So that's all I got to say about it. That's it. I bought some new camera gear. We'll talk about it next week when I get back from my trip, because I bought that stuff for the trip.
Yeah.
So that's it, guys. We will close things out here. As always, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about, all the links and everything like that. And if you're looking for us on your favorite podcasting app or website or software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.